Hey, podcast listeners. If you enjoy learning about important issues affecting your world, then be sure to join us this month on WSJ.com as we explore the people and programs helping to solve America's hunger issues. This July, we're partnering with MiniUSA to defy hunger on the Mini Takes the States rally. Check out the program on WSJ.com and donate to the cause at defyhungertogether.com.
Hello and welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. This week on Heard on the Street, a look at what the Fed might have in store for the rest of the year. Is it ready for another interest rate hike? More coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome back to Heard on the Street, the podcast. I'm Steve Russolillo with Spencer Jacob. We are now joined by our colleague, Justin Lehart. Justin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Justin, the Fed kept interest rates unchanged this week. Everybody knew that that would be the case. But a rate hike has to be coming at some point, right? What did we learn exactly from the Fed's meeting this week?
Well, they're more upbeat on the economy than they were in June. They've seen a pretty good, pretty good rebound in the jobs data. And also, Brexit has passed, and we haven't seen any real big financial fallout from that. So they're not as worried about the global financial situation as they were.
And Justin, in your column today, you suggest that investors may be getting a little complacent in terms of the next Fed move, that they may think that the Fed is more dovish than it really is. They should pay attention to what they're saying.
Right. At the moment, the futures markets imply that there's really a less than a 50% chance that the Fed will raise rates by the end of the year. And really, it wouldn't take much for the Fed to be a lot more comfortable than they are now. So part of the problem right now is, so Brexit has, there was the Brexit vote. It happened in June. The worries about big financial fallout, they turned out to be, overblown, right? But we don't know what the economic fallout is. And that's really maybe the main thing that's keeping the Fed on the sidelines for now.
But Justin, we've had one rate hike over the past decade, right? One rate hike. And we've been talking so much about, when are rates going to go up? When is the Fed finally going to move? When is it going to move? The Fed acted in December, and then they stopped, and then there's this waiting. And we spend so much time writing and talking about the Fed and rates. But why is this time any different?
You mean why would it happen now?
Why would it happen now? Why should we believe the Fed?
Well, I mean, the Fed didn't wait. What you're saying, why should you believe me? Because the Fed didn't say anything. So, right now what's happened is, we've seen this run of pretty good data. And what we really need to learn is, and I think what the Fed needs to learn is, what's Brexit's effect on the economy going to be? So we've had good data, as you've written, relative to expectations, right? But all of that data is really up through June, right? And the Brexit vote was at the end of June. Right. So we were not going to see any sort of effect on the economy until, we start getting July data and August data. So, by the time September comes around, the Fed will know that. Now, we do have a couple of things that we know, though. Right. One is, if you've been listening to a lot of the second quarter earnings calls, there's not a lot of talk about Brexit and, oh, Brexit's really hurting our business or anything like that. So that's a good thing. The other thing is, if we look at some of the high-frequency data, so-called high-frequency data like weekly jobless claims, right, those have actually come down since Brexit, right? So that also suggests, businesses are not that worried about what's going on, right? So potentially, right, we could have some pretty good economic data over the next couple of months, right? And that changes the calculus for the Fed.
So, but playing devil's advocate for a second, I mean, a cynic might look at the Fed's reactions to what happens in the U.S., a bad jobs number, an international event, a sell-off somewhere, a foreign policy crisis, an upcoming pivotal event, and say, as long as there's anything that casts the least bit of doubt before or 6 weeks before or after a Fed decision, they're going to sit on their hands. You almost always have that.
I actually don't know that that's a really cynical thing to say. I think that, if you think about where the Fed is, right? They think the risks of going too soon are much worse than the risks of waiting, right? You go too soon, and then you're back to having to do, you know, all kinds of weird stuff, right? Because they can't cut rates to help the economy because rates are so low, right? So then they have to do all the bond buying and all that nonsense that they had to do before. And we know that it doesn't, you know, it helps, but it doesn't help like rate cuts did. You know, on the other hand, you know, you wait a little longer, you get things run a little hotter, and, you know, then you have to raise rates. But they know how to deal with that, right? I guess, you know, but then there's, you know, a third concern that you might have, you know, if you're going to be a cynic, right, which is what about asset prices?
Or not even just asset prices, but also what about the upcoming election?
Yeah, now that's a pretty interesting question, right? So the Fed sort of bends over backwards to say, look, we're not going to let politics get in the way. And, you know, there have been times where the Fed has raised rates. They're not going to raise rates like sort of at their late October meeting right before the election. That's not going to happen. But they have raised at their, you know, what corresponds with their September meeting, right? They did in 2004, for example. You know, given the uncertainties about this election, you know, I think that investors do have to consider that.
I seem to remember that it was the last presidential election. I guess it wasn't will they raise, but it was QE. When are they going to finally taper? And they, although they didn't cite the election uncertainty, it did seem at the margin to affect them. The data were good, but they waited a while longer, right? That's how long we've been in this kind of, you know, totally stimulative world, right? I mean,
yeah.
The election, and it wasn't that big of an uncertainty. I mean, you know, it's not like Mitt Romney was going to sort of, you know, pull us out of major alliances or whatever. I mean, it was, you know, wouldn't have been a disaster or a shock, let's say. This time, they probably would do the same, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to something like QE, they'd really get into the. You know, accusations that they were playing politics, mm-hmm. right? QE, right before the election, people say, oh, my God, you guys are doing that for Obama, you know. And staying away from that and not doing that, you know, probably helped them maintain their, you know, their sort of insulation from politics. Mm-hmm. And they want to do that, right? So that's, you know, in that case, right, that argues that if the data is there, that they should raise rates mm-hmm. in September. Again, you know, but given all the other uncertainties, you know, they may, you know, push it back to December.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to end it there, folks. That wraps things up for this week's Heard on the Street podcast. For more, please check us out at WSJ.com/heard. That's WSJ.com/heard. From New York, I'm Steve Russolillo. And on behalf of the rest of the Heard on the Street team, thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.